Today, we're going to be starting here. We're going to be here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. Give everybody a moment to get there. And stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would, please, this morning. It says there in verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath even given himself for us as offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not it be once mentioned among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Amen. You may be seated. I thought it was interesting that Steve, this morning in Sunday school, he was talking about, you know, some things that we as Christians ought to be expecting coming up. Amen. Right? I mean, there's some things happening. We shouldn't really be caught totally off guard, I would think. We got a pretty good idea from looking at the Word of God with things that are going to be happening. You know, have some expectations. Amen. And so I was looking at, and I was thinking about, you know, when you look at the world, you know what? You don't expect them to talk about loving the Lord and following Him like a dear child, walking after Him. You don't expect the world to be walking after God. You don't expect them to be loving. You expect all that filthiness and stuff coming out of those people, right? I mean, I'm glad that there's a lot of them aren't that way. I'm glad that a lot of them are they live their lives good, even though they're not saved, right? I mean, there's some good, honest people out there. But I got to thinking about those expectations and things. You know what? I wonder what the expectation, you know, of a sinner is for Christians. I mean, what should they expect? What should a sinner out there expect from a Christian? I mean, we talk about rights all the time. I mean, this is the big time. Oh, right, I have my rights, it's my rights. What's their rights? What should they rightly expect? I mean, I think the first thing that they should expect, right, would be that you know something about the Bible. Amen? I mean, if you're a Christian and they know you're a Christian, shouldn't they expect you to know something about the Bible? I mean, if you've just been saved just even for a little bit, you at least ought to know something about salvation because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? You ought to know something. Especially the longer you've been saved, the longer you've been around, you should have been learning something about the Word of God, me, and getting into the Word of God. So they should expect you to know something about the Word of God. And you know what? They ought to expect you to love the Word of God, the Bible. I mean, they may hate it, but they don't expect that out of you, right? They expect you ought to love it. You ought to care about it. You ought to know something about it. That's what they expect. I mean, right? And you know what? It's sin that really keeps you away from the Bible. I mean, you might say, well, you might come up with all kinds of excuses, but basically it's sin, right? You know, the Bible keeps you away from sin, and sin keeps you away from the Bible. But shame on you people. Shame on people who've been saved their whole lives and haven't gotten to learn and study the Word of God. You get an amen off that? Amen. Now I'll tell you something else a sinner ought to expect from a Christian. They ought to expect you to be different. Right? You shouldn't be like just the rest of the world. I mean, on the job, too many Christians have the same old habits, don't they? They sure do. The lost man has a right to expect you not to be cursing out there. They shouldn't expect you to be out there griping all the time or dressing like the world, looking like the world, and smelling like the world. You know, I've used this example several times. You know, Kimberly and I used to work down at H.D. Lee down there at the warehouse, right? And there was a gal down there. I tell you, you know, the filthy stuff that came out of her mouth, the things she talked about, just, I mean, talk about, they're not Christian things, let me tell you, okay? And I know a lot of times we go down there in the warehouse, we had orders, we picked out jeans and picked up the jeans for the order, right? And sometimes there'd be several of us there, and you'd be crossing each other's pathways there. And one day she said something about she went to church. Somebody said, "You go to church?" Right? All the mouths dropped wide open, right? "Oh yeah, I go to church all the time." "Really?" You know, they just couldn't believe it. Because you expect a Christian to be different, amen? You expect them to be that. They should. I mean, to live for Christ takes some backbone, does it not? It takes some backbone to live for Him. But too many Christians, you know what? They want God and the world. They want to try to live in both worlds. You know what? That offends the world out there when you do that. That offends them. They're offended when somebody tries to live like that, both sides, right? know, Paul said, be all things to all men. He didn't say go out there drinking with them, doping with them, and fornicating. No, that's not what he was talking about. All right? When he said to be all to all men, you know, if they're interested in cars or guns or hunting or whatever, you know, he tried to be part of it. Try to be, so he could reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he meant by that. Anyway, he tried to be all things to all men. But the lost world, man, you know, they might come out and invite you for a beer, but they don't expect you to say yes. All right? I mean, that invites you all kinds of things down there, right? You know, you need to keep a good testimony in front of the lost. You got to have a good testimony. You have to know there's something different about you. That you're not I know that working down there at Ford, there's a lot of people that says they went to church and there's Christians and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? There were certain ones you knew they were Christians, amen? You know, that's what I always liked Damon Brewington. I mean, he wasn't overbearing about it, but you knew he was a Christian. He mentioned, he spoke about it, right? He gave God the glory. You knew he was a Christian. And there were several times. And I always found it interesting. There were segments, right? Segments. And they're down the line. And this, and when you're going down there, this segment's here. And every segment, there's a Christian. I guarantee you, about every segment, God had us all spread out there. That were actually, you could tell we're Christians. He didn't put them all in one group. You know, somebody, I wish we was all together so we could all just, you know, fellowship, right? No, guys, you're out in the world. Like I said, actually, we ought to put a sign up over the door. You know, you're going into the mission field right now. Every time you leave here, you're going into the mission field. Amen? But the sinner ought to expect a Christian to be different. Amen? They shouldn't be like the rest of the world. No, they shouldn't. They should be different. No, I mean, if you slip up and say a bad word, there's only one thing you can do. This is the old-fashioned, I'm sorry, right? Forgive me, I'm sorry. That's all you have to do. Sometimes, you know, we're not perfect. We all mess up sometimes around. I'm usually in my backyard when I do that. I say, oh, great. Where's the neighbor? Right? But, you know, I'm sorry. Just say that. Amen? Anyway, I tell you another thing that sinners ought to expect from a Christian. They expect you to be faithful to God's house. Yes, they do. I mean, a lost man has the right to expect you to go to church on Sunday. Right? I mean, He has a right not to expect you to take your boat out on the lake on Sunday. I mean, there's Saturday. Did you go out Saturday or some other day of the week? I mean, some people say, oh, it's summertime. I'm going out every day, weekend. But there's other things. I mean, some people like to hunt. Well, you know, there's other days to hunt besides Sunday, right? Find another day to go hunting. You don't have to go do it on. There's Saturday out there. I mean, you kill your testimony when you don't go to church. Don't think your neighbors don't know. If your neighbors know you're a Christian, they know if you went to church, if you didn't go to church, you're faithful to church. They know about that. They know what's going on. Even if you don't talk to them that much. They know what's happening. I mean, you infringe upon their rights to expect God's people to be different. You know what? Sinners expect a Christian to pray. A lost man has a right to expect you to say grace at the restaurant. Before you slam that hamburger down, you know, you can say a little thank you. I mean, you don't have to make a big deal out of it, right? You can just say a prayer, right? And you know what? You insult your Heavenly Father in front of the lost when you don't thank Him for the food that He provided for you, amen? I mean, they have a right to expect you to pray for them. I mean, they may not listen to you, but they expect you to be praying for them. They expect you to do that. That's what some, they have a right to expect that. You know what else they expect? They have a right to expect. They expect the right that you have control of your anger. I mean, if you lose your temper and cuss your boss out, right? Right? You know, you owe them all apology for doing that. Yes, you do. I mean, I know you're not perfect, but you can say, hey, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I mean, be man enough to say, yes, I take responsibility. You know, so many people don't take responsibility for anything. You know, they always want to blame somebody else. Well, here's my excuse for why I did what I did. Try that at the judgment seat of Christ, amen? See how far it gets you. Right? Come on, control your temper, again, down there at Ford Motor Company. There was this guy down there, he had the worst, he was divorced, I didn't understand why. All right? He was a repairman down there. He didn't get his candy out of the candy machine. You know what he did? He busted his fist through the machine, front of the machine. Right? I mean, that's the kind of temper this guy had. I mean, one day he was down there repairing something. He got mad. And he smashed his head into something in the car and broke his hand. His own hand. Can you imagine? I mean, I talk about ignorant, right? You know, but you know what? You as a Christian, you shouldn't be going around like that. I mean, he never claimed to be a Christian, okay? But could you imagine a Christian always losing their temper, always griping, always complaining, all these gossiping? We're talking about gossiping, right? You don't expect Christians to do that. Sinners shouldn't expect a Christian. They should have a right to expect you to be different, and you offend them. They have a right to expect those things out of you, to live your life different than the world. And sometimes it takes some backbone to do it, does it not? Sometimes we got to say, oh, okay, God, help me out. Because we know we all got the little things in our lives that, man, this really works on us, right? And God knows we need to work on these things. We need to get them right because we have a testimony out there in the world, amen? And you ought to speak up. I remember a long time ago in church, it was a campus crusade. And what campus crusade, I don't know if you're familiar with campus crusade. I never was in it. But I understand what they did. You know, when them teenagers were college age, were having a big party, they would go to the party. And then one of them would get up during the party and preach to them, right? And then after that, they'd all break out and they'd try to talk, bring up conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we had one of these gals coming for the summer, you know, she was at our church. We had a youth group, our college career group. And one of our guys said, well, you know, I think we ought to just live it. You know, and that people will see it. We don't have to go out there and say anything. Wrong. You know what? They just think you're a nice person. That's all they'll think. We want to give God the glory. Sometimes you got to open your mouth. You got to let them know. Like said Damon. He'd always say, hey, praise the Lord. You knew where he was at. You know, Ashley and I admire the guy. I mean, I'm not quite sure I agree with some of the things he's doing down there in Belton. But he's doing something, amen? Praise God for it. Praise God. I mean, he's in all that ecumenical stuff, you know, kind of going on, things like that. But you know what? I appreciate what he's doing when he's out there for the Word of God, amen? Preaching the Word of God. And like I said, and I appreciate him when I'm down there for it. He wasn't a pastor. He was just an ordinary Christian like you and I. And people knew where he stand with the Lord, amen? They knew where he was. And he was an encouragement to other Christians like myself. Who says, hey, there's other people out here. I'm not out here totally by myself. You know, like, what was it? It was in Ezekiel. I'm the only one, God. I'm the only one that's doing what's right. No, you're not. He said, you got 7,000 other people over here that hadn't bowed the knee. Of course, you realize 7,000 among how many millions were in that country? Well, a pretty small amount. You ever notice God always uses small amounts? You ever notice that? How many people got on the boat? Right. Plus mom and daddy. Right. Okay. Hey, the majority was wrong. Usually the minority that's right. So anyway, but I think they have a right. They have a right to expect that. You know what else they have a right to expect? A sinner has a right to expect you not to be stuck up. Oh, come on. You know there's some self-righteous Christians out there, right? Oh my goodness. I mean, never mind, you're no better than anybody else. No, you're not. I mean, you're not better than the lost. I mean, the only difference between you and the lost is Jesus Christ, amen. That's the only difference. Don't ever forget that. You know, I always liked that. Years ago, when I was down there in Sedalia, we went to the Baptist church, First Baptist Church down there. And the preacher, every time at the end of the service, he always says, there are only two kind of people in the world. A sinner lost, a sinner saved. That's all there is. I mean, I don't remember anything else he said, but I remember that because he said that every Sunday after the service. But you know, I'm sure I got something out. You ever heard that? You heard that deal where that guy said, well, you know, why do I go to church? I don't remember. I heard all these sermons, you know, for the last 20 years, and I don't remember any of them. And somebody wrote back. I mean, you think he wrote this in some newspaper and then wrote back. And that guy says, well, you know what? I've been married for 20 some years or 30 years or whatever. Maybe 40, I think it's 40 years. And I can't tell you what my wife fixed me all that 40 years for fixed me all them meals. But I know she fixed me so many meals. You know, he had it all figured out what the number was. I don't remember what I had on top of my head what it was. And you know what? I may not remember exactly what she fixed me, but I know if she hadn't fixed me those meals, I wouldn't be here today, right? Amen? You've been starved to death. same way as going to church. You may not remember everything you heard in church down through all the years, but you know what? One thing you do remember, you hadn't been here, you've been spiritually been starving, amen. Church is important, isn't that right, Steve? Amen. And a Christian expects you to be there. I mean, the unsaved people expect you to be there. But even in church, there's some folks who think they're better. I'm better. Why? Because if you got what you deserve, you'd be in hell, amen. Exactly where you'd be. So how dare you think you're better than anybody else? The only one as good as Jesus, amen. He's the only one. The worst thing is an old stuck-up Christian, amen. You know, that's the worst thing. Okay, and I tell you what else a sinner can expect. They can expect you to witness, right? Even if they don't listen to you, they still expect you to witness to them. They expect you to care about their souls. Amen? They expect you to care. The only time some co-worker sometimes hears the name of God is some curse word. If you're saved, how dare you to use the Lord's name in vain? I mean, also in front of the lost, you need to get on your knees right away and talk to God and beg Him for your forgiveness. Amen? Amen. And see, and one day at the great white throne judgment, you know what? You don't want to point the finger at you and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You know, there's a reason why it says there in Revelation, He will wipe away all your tears. All right? Don't think you won't have some tears. You know, I remember years ago, again, another youth group down there, Kansas City Baptist Temple, somebody getting saved. Somebody brought them to church and they got saved. And they said, you know what? Why didn't you bring me here sooner? That's what she asked him. She said, why didn't you bring me here sooner? You don't want that to happen in the great white throne judgment, amen. I'd rather have it done here than there, amen. Amen. See, don't blame it, you know, on the last days, okay? I mean, I think we talk about the way, let's say, you know, I just need to get out and start talking, amen. I just need to start giving out there. I mean, we can talk about everything. We talk about politics. We can talk about the worldly thing. Olympics. I mean, we've been enjoying Olympics, haven't we? All right? We need to be able to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And, you know, and by the way, you know, your loved lost families, you know what? We want to see them get saved. I mean, face the ridicule. Face the ridicule. I mean, don't badger them. I'm not talking about badgering them, okay? But it'll be worth it, amen? It's going to be worth it. And remember, when that loved one dies, it's heaven or hell. Amen? You know, I think another thing a sinner expects, they expect that you be able to have a testimony. I mean, if you're saved, you should have a testimony of how and when you got saved. I mean, I'm not exactly remembering the exact day or time or whenever. I mean, you ought to have some Bible verses down. You ought to have some memory verses down. You ought to have some salvation verses down that you can talk to them about people about it. I mean, shame on you if you haven't hid God's Word in your heart. I mean, you don't have to have a lot of words. You can just have a few verses. In fact, you just had John 6:23, right? What's John 6:23? Anybody know what that is? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There it is, right there, the negative and the positive. Your sins have owned you death, separation from God, but God has given to us the gift of eternal life. Who? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one verse could help you talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And be prepared. It says you're supposed to walk as children of the light. And how did Jesus walk? He's our example. He used to talk, you know, when Al's saying, hey, if you're a parent, you know what? Your kid's going to follow you. You're a father, your kid's going to follow you. Guess what? We, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to walk after Him. We're going to follow after Him. You know what? If He goes in front of a train, we're going to go follow Him. Amen. Wherever though he slay me, yet will I trust Him. Amen? And if this is where He sends me. But you know what? You should have a testimony. I should be able to talk on any one of you out here today and say, hey, you just come up here and give me your testimony. You're supposed to be in season and out of season. Maybe we ought to just do that. Maybe I ought to just call on somebody to come up now and just give me your testimony about how God saved your soul. I mean, everybody should have a testimony of what happened and how it happened. That's something you ought to know. I mean, if you can't point to a certain time, then how do you know? Maybe you're not saved. It says, you know, it says examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith, amen. You got a testimony?
So next week, maybe I might call on somebody else. You might want to be thinking about it. Just in case, you know, maybe in the middle of my sermon, I'll say, well, time up. Bingo. I think that's a good idea myself. But anyway, it might be a good idea to think. I think I had this planned, huh? Frank, are you volunteering for next week? Is that what you're doing? That way we'll know ahead that you're ready to go.
I'm going out of town. All right. Well, I look around. I think everybody here that I know of is saved. If you're not saved, do talk to me and we'll show you from the Word of God. If you don't have that testimony where you say, yeah, I can look back. I know the time when I trusted Jesus Christ. I called upon Him to save me. You get with me and we'll show you from the Word of God. Not my opinion, but what God's Word has to say. Amen. And in fact, bring somebody on Wednesday. Maybe, you know, that's a good witnessing field. Just say, hey, you know, come on Wednesday and we'll come down here. And maybe that they have a question about, maybe they have a question about the Word. Or if they'll just sit there and listen. A lot of people just come and things like that and they'll just listen. And we'll talk about God and His Word and His salvation. Amen.